Welcome to Movies, Films, and Flicks. I am Mark Hoffmeyer, and joining me is a man who really wants to watch the Pale Man from Pan's Labyrinth play basketball. It's Norbert Morvan.
It must be difficult to catch the ball with that eye in your hand.
Yeah, imagine dribbling.
It's just every time, ow, 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 oh, something in my eye. Oh, no, it's okay. Oh, something, ow, 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 oh.
Could it be a Manu Ginobili type character where it just has one eye, puts its left eye in, and just dribbles with its left up and down the court?
Well, that creature doesn't have eyes in its head at all, right? They're only
head. You're right.
So I think I think that the sport that he would excel at would be the beautiful game, football, as we call it over here in Asia.
Oh yeah, you're right. Headers wouldn't be bad. You don't have to. You don't want to be a goalie.
Blocking shots, that would be a problem. Hockey would be a nightmare because you got to wear the gloves.
Oh, brother. Yeah, you're not going to see anything.
You're not going to see anything, man. And then vulcanized rubber is way harder than a basketball. That puck will kill you.
No bobsledding.
Mm-mm.
I think you're right. It would have to be soccer.
That's right. Because then he could just, like in the movie, put his hands up on his head at all times. He would have the world's most incredible abs. You know, because everything is happening from the waist down. His core strength would be off the charts.
Just, he might get a bunch of hand balls because he always has his hands up. But I got to see this movie, Norbert. Wow.
That is a disturbing. And then I believe Pan's Labyrinth is a children's movie, which just raises a whole other set of questions.
Del Toro, he makes those fairy tales, that's for sure. Those dark fairy tales.
Yeah, he's an odd human being. I would love to have a sandwich with him.
I would love to talk to him about Shape of Water, because that's a movie where they rescue this aquatic god from this research facility. But in doing so, they kill an innocent guard, and they live right next to the water. And for some reason, she waits like a couple months so she wants to put it in a canal that has to fill up. But she could drive 100 yards up the road and just dump them in the water. So she keeps them locked in her bathroom. And feeds it nothing but eggs. And then it eats this guy's cats. And they're like, oh, it's fine. I'd kill it. Listen, if I saved a creature from a government facility and was keeping it in my bathroom and it ate one of my cats, I would blow it up with C4.
That's beef, man. 100%, you know.
Beef on sight.
Beef on sight. That's absolutely, you know. I mean, here you are in this lab. Technically, all your needs are being met. Granted, you don't have the freedom of the open, deep blue sea, shall we say. But at the same time, you know, your poop, it goes away immediately. And then, you know, that's the question. You keep it in the tub. How do you get rid of the poop? Obviously, if this thing is eating eggs, that bathroom reeks before it even poops. You know, you ever had a fish tank and just didn't clean it for a while? That thing stinks, bro. And that's just fish. Fish are the size, you could fit several fish in your hand. This thing is the size of a man in a tub. It's just pooping everywhere and what? Ugh.
And then they flood the bathroom.
Yeah, it's like H.R. Giger's version of Splash. It's just a horrible thing.
That's wonderful.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
You know, instead of Tom Hanks finding a beautiful mermaid, it's this chick just finding the xenomorph, like, so what are you doing? Oh, that's so romantic. No.
And it won Best Picture. I love the production design. I really do. I think it looks good. I get the story that he's telling, because when he grew up, he said that men were monsters because he had to like flee from Mexico. And there were times that there was kidnapping plots, and he always wanted the creature from the Black Lagoon to get the girl. So I think he always wanted that. Like, he saw humans as the monsters, not the monsters.
Yeah.
But by doing that, you basically create like a Stockholm syndrome where she kidnaps this creature and just feeds it eggs. No meat. No.
The most dangerous game is man. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. how could that creature play? Do you think that creature could be good at basketball?
The creature from The Shape of Water or the creature from The Black Lagoon?
From The Shape of Water. No, who would win on a one-on-one game? Shape of Water or Black Lagoon?
Okay, creature from The Black Lagoon, first of all. Incredible design. For the fact that it was a black and white movie, and frankly looked more real than the actors. also, he's kind of jacked. You couldn't see the zipper on the costume. So, Shape of Water, gangly, lower body strength. What does he have? So, you got some legs or some flippers there?
Well, that's a great. I think it has legs because it walks around and runs.
Okay, I think Creature from the Black Lagoon is going to take it, because the Creature from the Black Lagoon is not trying to actually fall in love with that chick. I think it was trying to kind of eat her, and or, shall we say, a Weinstein situation, you know, and just leave it at that. So, yeah, I think the Creature from the Black Lagoon, being more of a sociopath, would get the win, because sociopaths in basketball have historically done well. What's the guy named Barry? The father Barry, not the sons, because he was a jerk to those two boys.
Oh, yeah. Like,
he's kind of a sociopath, and he's in the Hall of Fame too. So sociopathy is definitely a key aspect to being a champion in sport, I believe.
I was thinking that the Creature from the Black Lagoon would be a really great defensive lineman because of the swim move that I could pull.
Rim shot. So
I gotta tell you something funny. I used to play football in high school, and we had this guy that just did this stupid swim move every time. And it worked on me a couple times, because you just never expect a swim move. But then by the third time, you could just chuck the guy. You're an offensive lineman. He's going to spin move, which means you have your entire rib showing. So just grab, like, just whack the dude in the ribs and knock him on the ground.
Exactly. Exactly. What is your move? Oh, swim move. Oh, really? Ankle bite, you know?
Hey, so I brought you in for this draft, because I started in 2012 doing these weird drafts. So I did a football team with horror movie characters. We did a football team with romantic comedy characters, a football team with, let's see, animated characters and sci-fi characters. We've drafted basketball teams, football teams. Well, I think most famously from one of our episodes, John Lazavath, our former host, he drafted the Sarlacc in a pit to be the safety on a team, on the football team. Because you're not going to run around it. There's just a giant pit in the middle of the field. So that really limits a lot
Here's the thing.
Mobility isn't going to happen.
You see, the whole key with being the safety, particularly the free safety, is that you're going to lay the smack down, okay?
Yep.
If you're in the open field and the guy catches the ball and he blows past all the DBs, you are literally the last line of defense. So the Sarlacc, all you got to do is traipse around that hole, man. You know, the tentacles only got so far out.
I guess he's thinking that the hole takes up most of the field, so you got to run on the sidelines to get around it.
But now we've just violated the sport, because you've rendered a third of the field unplayable. So now the Sarlacc is the biggest liability to not only your offense, but your whole ability to play the game.
That's why when Lazavath picked it, John Levengood, who was on this, kind of short-circuited. He didn't know what to do.
It's not a good look.
I think it's one of the more popular moments of our podcast, because Levengood's like, what? You can't do that. And it kind of changed the way we look at these drafts. And so our last one we did one just with David Fincher characters in 1980s comedies. So we had to put together a football team with just them. I picked Viggo the Carpathian painting to be a defensive lineman, because the quarterback's not seeing over that.
And his name is also Norbert, so that's a plus right there.
And when I lived in Korea, man, you were obsessed with the Knicks. I mean, you still are obsessed with the Knicks, and you're obsessed with horror movies. So I figured, let's bring Norbert in to live up to our MFF. Like, you know, this is what we do. We do weird drafts. So I figured I'd bring you in and we would do a basketball draft. We'd put together a basketball team with characters from horror movies.
Greatly appreciated, especially since the last 15 years of the Knicks has basically been the NBA's version of a terrible horror movie. Isaiah Thomas, the interns, Stephon Marbury, James Dolan, for Christ's sake, the Shandon Anderson years, Eddie Curry with a heart murmur getting a 9-figure contract.
I do like those shoes that Marbury had. I like what he was going with that.
I'm not going to lie. Those shoes were $5 at Dave and Barry's, or Steve and Barry's. What was it?
And then Walmart, he sold them at too.
$5 a pair. I walk out of the store, no lie, with maybe 6 pairs of shoes. Like, yeah. And they absolutely broke down within a month and a half, each pair.
But that's why they're $5.
But that's exactly. I was just like, just get another one.
$5 a month. Buy them. That's $60 a year. Yeah.
It's cheaper than cable, bro.
How long would a Jordan last on playing pickup games every day?
Listen, those shoes put together by tiny slaves, unfortunately, have incredible durability.
Oh, okay.
I've never had a pair of Jordans break down on me, unfortunately, and I hate that, man.
So you pay $100-some and you have them for a year of just solid basketball. So I mean, you're still making, you're saving money on the Marberries, I guess. Mm. But you know what shoes okay. So I was working at a movie theater in St. Pete, and we had I think Athlete's Foot or Foot Locker, one of those Champs, one of those across from us. And I remember seeing those Kobes for the first time that looked like robot.
Yeah.
And I should have bought those, man, because I was looking at these things. I'm like, these are horrible. And everyone made fun of them. But imagine walking around with them now. People would love them.
Man. And you would probably be able to sell them, funk, sweat, and all, mold coming off them for a good penny, unfortunately, because of the ghoulish nature of eBay.
Yeah, I would, I don't know, man. I'd wear those. All right, so how about this? Let's do this. So right now, let's start. It doesn't matter where we start. So what we're going to do is we're going to say our team names, and then we're going to pick our coach, and then we'll start going into our team. How's that sound?
I like the way your brain functions.
All right, so what's the name of your team?
All right, I've got four team names that I'm working on, and they each come with a slogan. Because we're doing horror, the city is either going to be Saskatoon or the most terrible place on earth for a New Yorker, New Jersey. So we could have the New Jersey Moist Towelettes as a basketball team. Our slogan is, we will wet you, you know, because wet, that's a shot. The Saskatoon Alarming Lesions, because our plays will make you go, oh my goodness.
Saskatoon.
In- you know what I mean? That's right. The Jersey Unexpected Assault, because our team, we come out of nowhere.
Oh, you know, I like that.
That's what we do. We could also be from parts unknown. Tasteful Nudity, because we serve the narrative, you know? So this is where I'm leaning. I will select one before the podcast is over today, but those are the team names I'm working with. What do you think?
I love it. I mean, I like the unexpected, the New Jersey unexpected violence. Is that what it is? Unexpected.
Unexpected assault, because we come out of nowhere.
I'd wear that jersey.
We come out of nowhere. The UA, you know, the logo is a basketball player just like, rah, hands in the hair, like things are about to go down.
Remember in the 90s when you used to have the hockey jerseys and the basketball jerseys, football jerseys, where the front of the shirt was being exploded and then the back was like the back of the person exploding through?
Yeah.
That'd be perfect. Totally.
It would be mint. And also the Buffalo Sabres logo was kind of satanic the way it used to look. So that would work.
Oh, I love it.
That would work.
All right, so mine's random, but I'm going to do the Crystal Lake Sharks.
Nice. Of course, Shark.
I just like Crystal Lake Sharks. Two lakes.
Of course. Of course. Crystal Lake Shark. Redundancy will kill you or whatever, right? That's your slogan.
The Crystal Lake Sharks.
Dinner sharks. Lake sharks. I'm sorry.
One side of the auditorium, Crystal Lake. Oh, wait, Crystal Lake. And then Lake Sharks.
That's right. They still do the wave unironically in your stadium.
The Crystal Lake Sharks.
Where the wave is going to get you again.
Everyone has fins. Just throwing them up.
Oh, man.
Like when the fourth quarter hits, when there's 2 minutes left, dun, 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 dun. Everyone in the crowd does that.
Right. Oh, that would work, man. That would work.
It's one of the best home squads in the league. So we have the sixth man, we have the seventh man, and the eighth man.
Clearly. The home court advantage is murder.
And my coach, I'm going to let you know my coach. So it's the Gen 2 shark from the large shark, the mother shark from Deep Blue Sea, the big one.
Of course.
Because this shark, Megan asked me, how is this shark going to communicate with people? And I just said it has a little, like a dry erase board in its tank with yada yada stuff. And so it's drawing up plays. During, you know, halftime, you know, when they call breaks and everyone huddles around, everyone takes their seats and the coach is like, okay, so what we're going to do here is we're going to hit the hole. The shark's drawing on the thing. It's in its little tank. It planned a full prison escape. Like, this thing could plan up some plays.
It could also use the remora fish that are attached to it to diagram the plays in the water, you know?
Oh.
So the shark nods his head at the remora fish, and then the remora fish diagram a perfect simulation of a pick and roll leading to a dive to the basket.
Wow. That's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard.
You see, you got to take it. You got to take it to that next step. If you're going to use sharks, go to the whole world of the sharks, man. The remora fish live at the whim of that shark, and they eat the detritus of the shark. So they will do the shark's bidding. So and the shark tells the remora fish what plays the diagram.
That's I can see it in my head, and that means it's a good idea.
Norbert,
Norbert, Norbert. All right, so who's your coach on the? We don't know who it is yet, but the UAs. Who's your coach?
Okay, so the unexpected assault from parts unknown. Hashtag we come out of nowhere. Our coach, I am leaning towards the guy who was the doctor of the girl in the ring, because clearly that dude knew that that chick was off, but he just couldn't resist doing the experiments anyway, just to kind of see where it goes. Because clearly, okay, that little girl was murdering people with her eyes. Mm-hmm. She had the resting bee face, shall we say, except it was lethal. So clearly, even though in the movie, you know, supposedly nobody died at that facility, I think that's crap. I'm pretty sure that, you know, where's Steve the janitor? Oh, I don't know. He was cleaning out Samara's room the last time I saw him, and she's just standing there in front of the clock moving back and forth, you know?
That's our eighth janitor this month.
Exactly. You know, the doctor literally says to her in one scene, you don't want to hurt anyone. And she goes, but I do, and I'm sorry. It won't stop. Now, any real nice doctor at that point would have been like, okay, Samara, just a second. Press the mute button. Okay, so we're going to just put this girl on all the Thorazine and tie her up as tightly as possible. Put her in a deep, dark room. But he was just like, okay, Samara, so what happened on your third birthday?
Yeah. I'm not going to change, guys. I'm gonna keep murdering people.
Yeah, so clearly, in terms of people who are just evil as hell, that are very smart and could obviously diagram an out-of-bounds play with 3 seconds left on the clock to win the game, yeah, he's got the ability.
Super optimistic. Super optimistic. You're not going to shake him. When you guys could have clinched a playoffs, but you lost and you have one game to get in, he's like, we'll be fine. We'll be great. This is perfect. We got this.
It's no problem. One day, I was going to get a sandwich from the conference room, and I saw that Samara had defenestrated one of my assistants. And I asked her, you know, how did she feel about that? And she said, it won't stop. And I said, okay, Samara, here's a cookie. So, yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah. So when we lose by 2 to the Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals, we'll be back next year. Or they won't. Dun, dun, dun.
Most of my staff will be back next year, I think. Have you seen my assistant?
I sent Samara to talk to the coach of the Knicks, so we'll see what happens next year. Dun, dun, dun.
Now, why are you hiring for towel boys every day? What's going on with this team here?
Samara feeds on the tears of the innocent. It's okay, because there are plenty of towel boys around. You know, it's just good data for research.
I like this guy.
Yeah.
Totally morally bankrupt because he knows people are being murdered, but he's very optimistic.
Yeah. Because you got to get those results, man, no matter what.
I'm looking forward to hearing your team. I want to see who he's working with to kind of keep them moral. Okay. All right. So let's. Want to start with centers?
Okay. So at center, number 86.
Number 86?
Okay. Lingua Ferreira Acarancis, a.k.a. the Xenomorph, a.k.a. the queen alien, standing at least 12 feet tall, with 4 arms, and whatever the hell is coming out of her back. No one is getting to the hole without, at minimum, losing an arm or two.
Everything.
You can't get past the queen, number one, because she's literally taller than the basket, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Number two... Oh, you're going to try to throw an elbow? Her skin is chitinous, man. And anytime she gets cut, not only does she leak acid blood, but her cells seem to replace themselves with polarized silicon, making her a tough little SOB. So, yeah, you're not getting into the paint without a little suffering.
Now, do you think that there will be a lot of, 3-second calls from this green alien? Does she stay mobile in, you know, under the basket? Are you moving her out a little bit so you don't get those penalties called? Like, what's your plan with this green alien to kind of prevent those?
Well, because of the new NBA laws regarding the zone, defensive 3 seconds, it does exist. And the queen alien, we know that she's smart enough to negotiate the life of herself and Newt for her children, and then smart enough to even be like, psych, I'm going to unleash a facehugger on you anyway, and how to use an elevator. So I think she could get the concept of every 3 seconds you need to move.
Got it. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
The mobility, we saw it run. I mean, and if we're using AVP too, just as a guide, I mean, that thing sprints through those whale carcasses like it's nothing.
That thing is making moves, man. Yeah.
On a fast break, it's getting up the court.
Yeah. I have seen the fastest NBA players with 3 seconds left on the clock take it end to end and make a layup. I think the queen's legs being magnitudes of order longer than the fastest NBA player, I say she makes it from end to end 94-50 court in 1.5, 2 seconds.
I'm thinking this thing's a shot blocker. I know this is a deep reference, but like Andrei Kirilenko when his ankle wasn't exploded.
Oh, yeah. AK-47. He was the god.
Blocking shots, but he just flew around with such insanity that he always blew his ankle out.
He was insane.
I mean, you got four hands. You're not going to really get around it. I mean, you're not going to get to the basket. Now, what about goaltending?
Again, the queen is taller than the basket, so goaltending is probably going to be a problem, especially because of that crown thing coming out of the back of her head. That alone can just block all the shots. So, yeah, you're going to have to make sure that your team's three-point game or mid-range game is definitely in check.
Number 86. I love it.
All that's right.
We have this, the queen alien, the xenomorph, as the center for your team. I'm going to go 100%. With a random one here. I'm going to say number 45. Oh, what were you going to say?
No, I said 100%. Go ahead. I agree with you.
So number 45, center, standing at 200 feet tall, it's the Jotun, the large troll from the end of Troll Hunter.
Now the queen versus the 200-foot troll. Ooh, man.
And we know that it had rabies at the end. This one doesn't have rabies, right? And it chased all the other trolls out of their hiding spots, which added a lot of trouble for the people of Norway. So this troll, it's not the most mobile, but if you watch how fast it moves, like he has to drive a car after it, speeding to keep up with the thing. They have to floor it to stay ahead of it. So yeah, this thing could clear the court in 2 steps. So I'm thinking, put it. You don't have to worry about 3 seconds because it can stand on either side of
the half court line. Yeah, seriously.
The biggest thing you could probably dribble between its feet, and I don't know how its lower back will handle itself by bending all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the biggest problem with the 200-foot troll hunter is that every NBA arena has a giant jumbotron in the center. So let alone the jump ball, okay? This guy's at the center, boom, hits the jumbotron, kills hundreds of spectators.
Yeah, that was a problem the first season.
You know, you've been to Madison Square Garden before? He's going to push right into Rockefeller Center, for Christ's sake.
So I took that into account, and we realized that does affect some of the fast breaks, and opposite teams have been smushed. He took out the Trailblazers once with just one step. But I think just having this troll there, he's ancient, he's smart, it's wise, it's sneaky because it's been hiding for so long before it got rabies. But I think that thing standing in front of the basket will really make it hard for opposing teams.
100%, because they literally can't see the other end of the court. They wouldn't be able to see the other end of the court. Now, the problem being, when the troll meets the queen in the All-Star game and he steps on her by accident, murdering her, not only is he going to have major third-degree acid burns, but the death of the queen will automatically call through the pheromones released, will automatically call the rest of the hive. Oof. So now the arena is a bloodbath because it's full of hundreds of aliens and facehuggers because they got to make a new queen.
How many people are in Madison Square Garden? What's the sellout?
Madison Square Garden holds about 20,000, about 19,700.
So I would say maybe 1,000 would make it out of there during that attack.
You hope. But then the troll falls over because his foot is severely burned. And now, boom, he crashes through. He ends up on 7th Avenue. Suddenly, now we don't have any more Modells. The hot dog cart guy is gone. Holy crap. Now bridge and tunnel crowd can't get back to Long Island because you messed up the Long Island Railroad.
Man, imagine that newspaper report. A 200-foot Jotun. Or what's the name of this troll? Let's see. Sven Olgenfolgen. Stepped on the queen alien, burnt its foot beyond belief, fell through it, and smushed 8 hot dog carts that were together meeting.
You gotta keep it simpler for New York tabloids. It would be like Jolton Jokin, you know, and you would see the picture of the thing falling over. Because that's the New York Post and the Daily News. They make just terrible puns, you know, or Queen-tastic, you know. You see her putting the pharyngeal jaws through the heads of a fan.
This is exploding heads every now and again.
Yes.
Da-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah.
If you miss this half-court shot, you will be fed to the queen alien.
Everything started off fine with the Knicks, and then number 86, the queen, was distracted by a fan waving a sign of one of her children, and she didn't like it, and she ran into the stands in a replay of the Malice in the Palace, and oh, there goes an arm!
You go home with a queen alien, or you go home with a facehugger, you go home with a facehugger.
Everyone goes home with a facehugger, yeah. So there's darkness in our hearts, yeah.
Well, the problem is... If one, it takes one tiny thing. You can't have people running into the stands on this. You because it'll spiral with these villains on our team.
Oh. Yeah, to say that they're sociopaths is an understatement.
Right.
Because they only yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I guess it'd be good to have the troll because the queen alien would look at it and just, I could maybe get it, but I'm not going to try.
These things have no concern for death, man. The hive is all.
Yeah, you're right.
The hive is all. And because the hive is on the court, the ball is all, man. The queen wins.
I would love to be on a team with the queen alien because it just won't kill you. And you get little face huggers walking around with towels and Gatorade bottles with their tails. You
know, oh, thank you. Gatorade Frost is my favorite flavor.
They have little jerseys on.
Number 86.
Oh, little I love
Mets,
it.
Little Mets gloves, you know.
Oh, I love it. And then yeah, I guess I could have little trolls with the Jotun since he's basically the god troll. So little trolls are running around handing out towels on my squad. I love it. Who's your forward?
Okay. Power forward. All right. Number 27. The werewolves from Dog Soldiers.
Whoa, they're huge.
And that's the point. You need a bruising power forward to keep up with the potential violence, and they're also the regenerative ability, quite frankly, to deal with the flails of potential acid blood. And werewolves, they can regenerate. We know from American Werewolf in London, Eddie Quist, he grew his arm back. The Dog Soldiers take some serious losses, and they... I figure they're at least 7-8 feet tall. They borrow their design from The Howling, which, you know, my favorite werewolf movie. You need a goon, a Kevin McHale type, a Charles Oakley type, to just kind of bust you around and beat you up. But then again, they also have the finesse to get you that critical bucket in crunch time when they're surrounded by 3 dudes from the other team.
I mean, these things are athletic. They're fast. They can easily palm the ball because they have huge hands.
Clearly. Man, there is no way that you're running. You're not outrunning a werewolf.
Imagine blocking that in the low post.
Right? So now here you are trying to post up a werewolf. And oh, what's that? It's a claw through your kidney. You just turned the ball over, champ. Sorry.
I think it could really make a quick move to get around the troll, too, for some dunks.
Oh, definitely. You know, because they run not only like men, but also like wolves. So... You're using 3 of your limbs to run, and the one, maybe the right or the left, to dribble. So the crossover possibility is off the charts.
I could see it draining a 3, too, like a Dirk-esque. I mean, Dirk had a lot of hair.
Hey, man, Bud, right? Oh. There's no rule that says dogs can't play basketball.
You're right. Oh, wow, that's perfect. You know what's funny, man? I can see this in my head now. It would definitely wear a headband.
That's right.
Little things around its hair.
Yeah, and those guys that come out and mop up the sweat, they would be super busy because the dog soldiers don't close their mouths, man. You know, werewolves are always drooling.
Gunk everywhere on the floor. People be slipping everywhere.
That's right. So now we're not only a basketball team, but we're job creators. You need at least 3 times the number of people mopping the floor.
And since about 8 of them died during a game, we just need more. So there's a lot of work going around.
at least eight, between the coach being the doctor from The Ring and the alien queen, just occasionally when your back is turned, just face hugging the ball boys. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We should probably hire. Okay. We should. In Lord of the Rings, those little goblins seem very disposable. So many of them die. So they should be the ones wiping off the thing. Or zombies, maybe. Smart zombies.
Well, we got to be careful with zombies because, you know, the infection.
What if we put something around their heads?
Okay, that'd be good.
Right?
Put a bit in their mouth. Yeah.
And then gloves on so they can't scratch you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, zombies are highly infectious. That's the thing. So now you've got 19,000 zombies. They're not even watching the game.
Oh, yeah. I mean, something, let's say the queen alien eviscerates one of them and blood just flies all over the crowd. You have 20 new zombies.
You see what I mean? And now, because we're in the 21st century, the zombies are not taking 3 days like a Romero slow burn. They're popping up in like 15, 20 seconds.
28 days later, the rage, well, though they weren't zombies, but they turned in like 20 seconds.
Dude, I thought about making a 28 days later rage zombie my point guard.
Me too.
Because... but then I was like, you know what? They would just murder everyone. You know, you need intelligence on your basketball team. And these things are just berserk, for lack of a better word.
As soon as you took it off, its chains, it would just run and kill
somebody. Yeah. And here we are for the jump ball, and the rage zombie has murdered the other team. And now they're also rage zombies, and they just murdered the TV, and oh, they're coming after me.
Goodbye, we'll Milwaukee.
You know, yeah, yeah. You see, the important thing with all of my team members is that there is some kind of intelligence there, you know, so they know better, because their number one goal is to win the game and then advance their evil plan.
Oh, I love it. All right, so you want to know my power forward?
What is your power forward?
All right, so number 92, standing at 6'5", covered in bees, it's Candyman.
Now, you can't dribble basketball with that hook, brother.
He has a great hook shot.
Rim shot.
That's partly why I picked it, Norbert, so I could say it. But then Megan asked me, like, what's it going to do with the hook? It'll deflate the ball. And they just put a little rubber cork on it with a scoop, like a high-lie thing. So instead of a hook, he has a high-lie so he can throw the basketball from far distances.
Okay, so now you've turned him into Swiss Army hands, man.
Yes, yes.
Buster from Arrested Development.
Okay. Lucille. So he has a high lie arm, 6'5". I mean, okay. He has bees coming out of him. So I mean, even like, so these werewolves post, like, so they're let's say, well, since they're power forwards, they'll meet maybe sometimes at the opposite end of the floor.
Yeah.
But imagine posting up on them and just bees stinging you. So the werewolves would feel that. They would hate it. It would regenerate, but they'd be like,
That is a weakness. Werewolves definitely react to pain in a way that the queen alien and perhaps the troll would not.
So you just have bees flying all over the court, stinging opposing players. You have six. I mean, Tony Todd is 6'5", which means he is short for a forward. But I just think between the high lie hand and the bees that he would be an exceptional person to have on my team. I mean, he can float here and around. He can bust through windows. You see how he can jump. He just has a magnetic presence. And I think his press conferences would be really interesting as well. You will be mine. You will take me. I don't know. I'd just love to see him in a press conference with a Gatorade bottle in front of him. But yeah, so that's my forward. So how about this, Norbert? Let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we will talk more horror basketball. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks. And we're working dark here, Norbert, but I love it. I mean, we have destroyed about 18 cities so far.
That's right, man. This is the place where nightmares dwell.
In our scenario, people keep going to these games.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you why. Many years ago on the Sega Genesis, there was a series of games called Mutant League.
Yes.
Made by Electronic Arts. And they made a cartoon of it that there was a terrible industrial accident and people were turned into mutants. And what happened was they decided, okay, let's do capitalism here and make a sports league. So they had Mutant League Hockey, Mutant League Football, Basketball, and Baseball. And so players would become mutilated during a game and the fans would love it. And the number one star was Bones Jackson.
Bones, like Bo Jackson, but Bones Jackson?
Exactly.
Do you think in this... Oh, wow. Oh, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, man, let me tell you, if you get a chance to find these games anywhere, Mutant League Football is amazing. It's built off the Sega Genesis Madden engine and is so much fun.
Do you remember the game with the cavemen or the Vikings and they played football and you could fall into pits?
Jerry Glanville, Pigskin Football.
Yes.
Let's kick some butt. That game's amazing. Troll, troll, troll.
I love that game. I used to play that all the time.
Game is awesome.
Do you think people pay for seats with personal security? Do you think the box seats have security and cages that kind of keep you safe?
Well, what happened is, ironically, the way that I was watching baseball today, you put me onto the Devil Rays. Thank you. Great team. I was watching baseball today, and this is how the Mutant League is set up. There are no fans in the stadium. There's just hundreds of cameras everywhere, and they watch the games go down because it's literally too violent to have people there. The people might get killed by limbs or the ball flying into and through their face.
Oh, I like the idea of packed places, though, right?
No, it's always more fun being there.
Just always. Really afraid people being forced to go to these games.
Yeah. That little net that they put along the third baseline is not going to help you when the queen is diving out of bounds for a loose ball. Let me tell you, baby. She does that. Oh, my God.
Jack Nicholson was smushed last night at a Lakers game.
All of them.
Mm-hmm. All right. So our last forward here. Who's your second forward? So you picked the power forward. Who's your small forward?
Okay, my small forward, remember, the small forward needs to be able to shoot like a guard, move like a guard, but also have a little bit of bulk and power, like a power forward. It needs to be somewhere in the middle. So, number 13, Brightburn.
He's going to murder people.
That's right. In the name of his home planet.
Eviscerate people.
Yeah. Because he killed that lady in the diner for no real reason.
Oh, gosh.
Pretty sure he murdered his mother. Not a good human being, but great athleticism.
I'm zipping all over the place.
Yeah. So he's got the speed to collect a loose ball. He's got the vision to make the critical pass. Mm-hmm. And he's got the hops because he can fly.
Wow.
So put back, no problem for Brightburn. And also, again, complete sociopath. So all he wants to do is win and then conquer the human race.
Some of the murders in that movie are so violent.
Brutal.
I'm happy I picked this troll now, because their skin seems very tough. They have very thick skin. So Brightburn could womp on this troll, but it's ancient and has impervious skin. It'll hurt him, but the troll just... Brightburn knows not to get smushed.
He's got the heat vision, bro. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, oh man. And if he could make a bright light, he could... petrify the thing.
and every time during the timeout, the coach is trying to get his attention, but he keeps drawing that Brightburn symbol in the wall.
Stop writing that everywhere.
It's cool how the Brightburn symbol looks like that kind of graffiti S that people used to make back in the 80s in their notebook.
Oh, yeah. So we would need to put some goggles on. Like, Charles Oakley wore goggles, right?
Horace Grant, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, James Worthy, Horace Grant, yeah.
But they would need to be like UV so that they prevent the troll from being petrified.
Well, the troll petrifies people, right?
No, so the troll. Oh yeah, but the UV light turns them into stone.
Sunlight turns trolls to stone. Okay, so but we're playing indoors. I don't think I don't think Brightburn shoots UV. I think he just shoots a heat death.
No, I'm just saying if he's a jerk and he. Blast him with the UV, or opposing fans blast him with one.
I think he tore his father or uncle's jaw off, so I think he's a jerk. Yeah.
Oh man, he'd be fast.
I mean, quite frankly, my team is far more violent than yours, but focused.
Man, you got
so. It's not looking good for you.
Candyman's kind of he's a murderer, but he's also a romantic.
There's a strong argument to be made that Candyman's not actually a bad guy, just a good guy turned bad.
Mm-hmm. I mean, his death was...
There it is, all right, and then the troll, troll's a troll. Troll's going to troll, what I'm saying? That's just in his nature.
My team's about to take a very dark turn.
Okay,
very
small
dark.
Forward. Yeah.
All right, so with number 20... let's see, you already have 27. Number 35. Okay. I should have thought of something real quick. I didn't do it, but Johnny Charles Bartlett. Jake Busey from The Frighteners.
Ah! He's a friendly ghost.
Now, he is... I need to know how many people he killed in the beginning. Because he's like, that's my number. I beat all these people, and he wants to get to that number. But
yeah.
So he's a ghost, but he is just... I'd put the cloak on him, too, because he'd look scarier. But they can touch stuff in the real world. I mean, he hits the car. Right. He does all that. So a basketball will be fine. So we have... Yeah. I mean, the queen alien, she's powerful, but he could just go right through her. And we have the werewolf. I don't know. The werewolf would slash at him, but, you know, maybe he'd slash him, but he'd be okay. And then you have Brightburn, who would fly right through him, but he can still touch people. So I just think having Jake Busey, he's 6'3", 6'4". Decent height. He's not big enough for a forward in today's league, but just having a ghost who can fly. I mean, if he floats in the air 6 inches, he's 7 foot. Done.
Mm-hmm.
So he's, you know, he has that big weapon too that he kills people with, and he's just running through, wiping people out.
Now, except for your troll who's 200 feet tall, you do have a small team.
Yeah.
However, you get the edge at small forward because your dude's not corporeal. You know, he can't be touched. Okay. So right there, that's your go-to player right there at all time.
Mm-hmm. A lot of it runs through him.
Yeah. So you're running a lot of ISO 3 with the small forward. And for all the pain and death that my team can deal out, for all the horrific Machiavellian plans of my evil coach who likes to toy with the emotions of small, psychotic children. We can't stop the small forward, man.
Nope.
Mm-mm. Well done.
And he's insane, so people are in trouble.
And he's insane.
This is going to get bad.
He's insane, intangible, and non-corporeal. You want to talk about audience death? That guy killed a lot of people.
And his fans would be insane.
Yeah, we're talking Dark Knight, Joker follower insanity.
Yeah. Man, those guys are crazy. Don't get me started on that.
This is why we cannot have fans. I think we're definitely going to have to go Mutant League. Every game is broadcast by CCTV or pay-per-view. Because if we have fans, I mean, the legal liability is going to be through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you sign a waiver, you know, you lose half your face. The waiver is not going to work in a jury of 12.
Yeah, because you're not in the right mind. Because people who want to go to this game aren't in the right mind. So a waiver... Right. Wouldn't be holed up in court.
Right, right. Remember, we live in a country where that person took a cup of McDonald's coffee, burned themselves with it, and then we're like, oh, the cup didn't say it was hot. And they won.
Don't get me started. It blows my mind.
And they won. So now the alien queen is diving for a loose ball, and three of her arms and her tail eviscerate 20 fans. We're not going to be like, well, you know, you signed the waiver when you came in.
Mm-hmm. These basketball games could be run... Oh, no, that's terrible. I'm not going to say it. All right, so... never mind. All right, so who's your guards? Who's your neck? Who's your guard? You got your point guard, and then you have your, shooting guard. So who are you picking first?
Okay, we're reaching back for this one. Number 20, at guard, from New York City, Seth Brundle, a.k.a. Brundlefly. That's right. Your shooting guard... needs to be nimble, mm-hmm. needs to be fast, and needs to be brilliant in order to assess whether to pass, score, or option 3, whatever that might be at the time. Couple that with the fact that Brundlefly has the incredible defensive move of vomit drop. Yeah. We now need more people to mop the floors. And on top of that, the vertical is incredible because this guy can not only jump 20, 30 feet in the air, he can stick to walls.
Yep. And to fly.
Brundlefly.
Oh, it's just, oh, gosh. Mm. Yeah, you're not getting that thing off your back, too. Like, let's say on defense, it's going to stick to you.
No way. You want to talk about the glove, Gary Payton? Uh-uh. Try to get past Brundlefly. It's going to make that noise and just head towards. Oh, Brundlefly with the steal. And he took his arm with him. Incredible.
I would be so frightened to be pulling up on the guard on the Brundlefly dribbling up the court. Oh, man.
Brundlefly's on the fast break. Oh, wait, it looks like he's mutating again. An arm just came out of his shoulder.
What's his three throw average?
Depends. Is it Is the ball free of vomit drop? Does he have the ability to shoot from wherever he wants as long as he's behind the free throw line? In other words, he might be distracted because he's eating those donuts again?
Yeah, okay. He would juice on the ball irregardless.
Yeah.
So it's a juicy ball.
It's wet.
And he's focused, though.
It's wet.
So the only focus Brundle Fly with a juicy ball. What's the three throw average?
Well, because we know that he can stick to any surface, I think that might negate the vomit drop. And if any acid from the queen gets on the ball, forget about it. Ball's over. Dog soldier saliva, that might irritate him a bit. But then he would probably just vomit on a dog soldier.
And ghost juice. Well,
he said that he was never really an athletic guy, but he's excellent at fingering piano.
Yeah.
So let's see. Shaq's a Hall of Famer. He shot like 60%. I'm going to say 65.
Oh, yeah. That's not bad. You're going to want to follow him, though, coming in.
You got to. You got to. You got to be careful.
I would just hack everybody before they got up to the thing so I didn't have to deal with the queen alien.
This is the problem. Once the ball is fed to the queen alien at the post, you have to hope that your troll is ready. But then again, your troll is always hunched over trying to get in the game. And 200-foot trolls are not fast.
No.
This is going to be the problem. I say your troll fouls out due to a lot of charges, quite frankly. There's going to be a lot of offensive fouls because his hand is too big to dribble the ball, first of all, so he's going to destroy the ball.
Mm-hmm. I gave myself a lot of problems with this troll.
The queen is just going to slash at his Achilles tendon, and now your troll can't walk, and he's out for the season. Okay, and then Brundlefly is going to vomit drop on him as soon as he falls down.
I think it would wear some queen alien proof sneakers made by Elon Musk.
Or the Marberries?
Yeah.
Because they're
I need 7,000 Marberries put into one shoe. Oh man, I love it. So you got the Brundlefly. All right, so my shooting guard is Ginger Fitzgerald from Ginger Snaps. Because, so Teen Wolf, right? You had a werewolf basketball player. So I wanted to have one of those, but I didn't want to go with Teen Wolf. I loved your pick, by the way. But I also wanted to mess with Ginger from Ginger Snaps. It's okay. Have you seen Ginger Snaps?
I am not familiar with Ginger Snaps. Break it down.
It's a Canadian werewolf film. And so it's about these two sisters who come down with the, you know, lycanthropy.
Lycanthropy, that's it.
And lycanthropy. She's just, they learn to embrace themselves and blah, 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 but they can be werewolves. So I needed a werewolf. I wanted to mix it up a little bit. I wanted to get some different faces on the team. So I figured Ginger in werewolf form as the shooting guard.
Okay. I'm reading about this right now.
Because she's about 5'9", maybe 5'10", smaller, Nate Robinson-esque. But, I mean, a werewolf would just be fat, and she's fast, and they can jump. I mean, they got ups.
100%.
So I just 100%. Think having Ginger Fitzgerald, the werewolf, on my team would be good. And I had, you got to make a callback to Teen Wolf. So you have it, I have it, but I just kind of went with a fun little Canadian werewolf film.
There's a lot of mention of weird sex in this movie. So it seems like Ginger might be a little bit frisky with the dog soldier, if you know what I mean. So that could be another technical foul for, shall we say, wardrobe malfunction. The game might have to be interrupted a few times. It's not baseball. There is a time on the clock, so.
I'm thinking she's going to be a werewolf, though, so I guess we can prevent that. Well, just put a jersey on.
Put a jersey on her, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it works. Yeah. I mean, it works in the WNBA. You don't really have too many of those.
That's right. That's right. I think what we would have to do is get one of those collars that, when you get a certain distance from something, gives you a shock. So anytime they get too close to each other, and they back off. I think that'll work.
Yeah, I mean, I just think I want to have a werewolf point guard because of Michael J. Fox from Teen Wolf. He also plays basketball in The Frighteners, too.
This is a point guard or a shooting guard?
Oh, shooting guard. My apologies. Oh, so,
okay. No worries.
Yeah, this werewolf is not calling the shots.
Okay. Okay. Yeah,
it's just more of a speed, get up the court. It's not the one planning everything out on the way up.
I agree with you, man. I was thinking of putting American Werewolf in London at my two guard. American Werewolf in London, it was not a thinker.
No.
Not a thinker.
Uh-uh.
Once he turned into that dog, the only thing that kind of made him hesitate was when the British nurse, a.k.a. Jenny Allgutter, David, it's me. He kind of paused for a minute before he was about to tear her throat out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that movie did not end well.
No.
So, yeah.
And, you got to promote Ginger Snaps. It's a popular cult classic, so I figured I'd add that.
I'm going to get on it. Thank you for that. That it seems good. I just read about it. Looks
it's
good.
Really popular, man. Cult classic. People dig it.
I'm into it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Maya. Yeah. All right, who's your point guard?
Okay. And then finally, the point guard, right? When we consider the point guard has to be fast, mm-hmm. but also visually acute, smart, able to analyze, do things quickly, able to make plans, able to make moves. And 21st century point guard has to be big. You know, Ben Simmons is 6'10", for Christ's sake. Oof. And he's a point guard. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. The new NBA is now just creative players in real life. Kristaps Porzingis is 7'3". I saw the guy do a crossover spin move when he was on the Knicks into a dunk. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. And then, of course, the Knicks traded him because that's the real nightmare in life. He's now on Dallas averaging like 20 and 9, shooting 40% from the three-point line. He's 7'3". Anyway, I'm sorry. That's my Knicks nightmare.
And he's got that one guy with him, too. I forget his name.
Luka Doncic, 6'7". Yeah. 6'7", Magic Johnson. Just absurd. Step back three.
Just,
oh, now I'm having Knicks nightmares. You see? It is a horror podcast. It is a horror podcast. So, all of that being said, like Bob Cousy, smart, good defender. Gary Payton, smart, good defender. Luka Doncic, big, smart, good defender. The 30 Days of Night Vampire. They make plans, they're fast, and they are smart.
So you're taking Marlowe?
Yes.
Whoa, what's her number, 30?
The number is going to be 0 for type O blood.
30 days. I knew you were going with vampires. When I heard good vision, yeah. I was like, well, vampires have great vision.
There it is. You see, this is why we get along. You know what time it is, man. That vampire wasn't even Marlowe. That chased the truck down and then lifted it up.
Those things were powerful. And I don't see Marlowe taking any crap from Brightburn, werewolves, xenomorphs. None.
None.
Be a good
Everything
leader.
Everything is beneath.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. That's the key. That's the key. The point guard has got to be the head of the snake. And Marlowe is the tough leader that's going to take this team to the Eastern Conference Finals and beyond. Ladies and gentlemen, the unexpected assault from New Jersey. We come out of nowhere.
And traps. They plan traps. They plan. They set up different angles.
They made a plan to murder a town full of people and then disappear into the night. And they would have gotten away with it, too, if it weren't for stupid Josh Hartnett.
I don't think he would be worried about Samara either. Marlowe.
No. Well, again, it's the Samara's doctor.
Yeah. But he's bringing Samara with him, it seems like, to all of these games.
He's got to. Because that's, you know, it's like the Undertaker and Paul Bearer. You know what I'm saying? That's how it works.
Oh.
My Undertaker!
Wait, could you get Samara to watch tape on opposing teams?
Hey, the problem being she would inject herself into the tape. So now every time we watch film from another team, you get the phone ring, 7 days. You're like, come on, Samara, really? Again?
Now I gotta go kill another person by giving them this tape.
Are you kidding me? It's the 21st century. Who the hell has a VCR anyway? Can we do better, please? Unbelievable. I gotta go to the one Blockbuster in the world. They just turned it into an Airbnb. Now you're telling me I gotta go and hook up 2 VCRs to make tapes just to satisfy your crazy ass? Jesus Christ.
Samara. I love this guy. Who's yelling at Samara? Who is this guy? Is this the assistant coach? Like, who is this?
If it's the assistant coach, that's a good one. Who would the assistant coach be on this team? Who would be ballsy enough to yell at Samara?
Oh, man. Let's see. In the pantheon of these films, has to be very mouthy, angry. Maybe Freddy Krueger?
Or Mitch Pileggi from Shocker.
Yeah.
He was magical, and he would talk crap to anybody.
What about that crazy dad from People Under the Stairs?
Nice. That's a good call.
Because that That's actor, I could see him yelling at Samara.
Or creepy old dude from Poltergeist.
Oh, yeah.
The preacher.
Whoa.
Maybe he wouldn't use the harsh language, but he absolutely yelled at people and then turned freakish monster when he did.
All right, so we could, there's an assistant coach who could yell at her. It works.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so I'm setting myself up here. This might not work, but I'm going number one on the jersey, number one. And it's Aaron from Your Next, played by Sharni Vinson.
Mm.
Because you have this entire family planning on murdering their entire family. And she just sees through all of it, sets traps, plans ahead, kills people with blenders. She just sees everything that's going on in this thing. And she was a survivalist and no one knew it. So they just thought that she never told her boyfriend that she grew up on a survivalist area so she could take care of herself. So when all the attacks start happening, she's just, whatever. She sets a fake trap and someone sees it and they're like, oh, I'm not going to that. And then they step on a real trap after that.
And that's a point guard move.
And so her vision of the situation and the way that she survived, and she figured it out. She figured out who was bad, who was good. She just steamrolled. It's a movie where you feel bad for the killers towards the end because she is just lighting them all up. And she gets stabbed in the leg, she gets hurt, and she just keeps killing people. So
it doesn't matter.
So she's a human, but she's on this team still. But I just think if you're a human and you're unexpected, you don't see it, and you can see everything, that's a really good point guard. So I think Erin could run the floor. I think she could have a good plan. I could see, the Candyman, Candyman would respect her. I don't think the Candyman, he wouldn't even try to be like, you're the one. He's like, I like you. Like, he wouldn't.
Yeah.
Like, that's their teammates. Like, they're a team.
Yeah.
I think the Jotun would, like, she's cool. Bartlett would, I think Bartlett would respect her. Be like, man, I like you. I'm crazy, but I like you. So, and then I think her and Ginger would work well together running up the floor. You got the werewolf and her kind of protecting her. You got a werewolf getting your back. So, yeah, just seeing the floor, making the plays. So, my point guard is Erin from your next.
I definitely think that works because as the human, there's a reason why before Scottie Pippen got there, it was just Michael Jordan and a bunch of thugs, man, because they would just get all the rebounds. And Charles Oakley, his specific job was to punch people in the face when they got a little too physical with Michael Jordan. So there's definite good draft sensibility behind it. I like the logic there. It makes a lot of sense. And if this woman is just a normal human getting stabbed in the leg, like, whatever, I'm going to kill you with a blender. Yeah, she belongs at the point.
It felt good. I kind of said, I want her. Because no one saw it coming. She saw through all of it. And I'm telling you, man, you feel bad for everybody. It's just like all these wolf mask people that acting all tough. Like, she's going to get you. So, I mean, listen, Brightburn could, all these things could destroy her. But I see them all sort of respecting her, your opposing teams. Like, Queen Alien would be like, oh, man, Erin's crushing it. I respect this. The Dog Soldier Werewolves would, they live out in the woods. She lived out in the woods.
Yeah, but the problem is Brightburn has a problem with strong females.
Yes, he does.
And with women who reject him. He's kind of a symbol of toxic masculinity. And Brundlefly definitely does not like being rejected with women, as his final plan was to merge himself and his pregnant wife together into one beautiful body so they could be a new race of human. So I think that Brightburn and Brundlefly, there would definitely be some technical fouls, shall we say, going on out there. They would be a little too close. So a couple of elbows, maybe a little bit of vomit drop while she's trying to cross over. Yeah.
Oh, man, that's funny. And also, Sherney Vincent was in a Step Up movie, too, so she could pull some spin moves out, too, while going up the court.
She can boogie.
Yeah.
She can boogie. She's got a little backflip in her.
And was a surfer in a movie, so that's good balance.
Okay, so she's definitely got some abs.
So I think you'd have to have – I don't think Candyman would be my goon on my team. It would be Johnny Bartlett.
Definitely.
I think opposing teams, knowing that you have a ghost that is a murderer, that is the enforcer. So if anybody messes with Erin, they're gonna catch it, man.
He's intangible. You cannot stop him. There are no Ghostbusters in our universe. And even the Frighteners weren't good at doing frightening.
Yeah.
Like, they were a hoax. The whole thing.
Can I tell you a couple of the people that I have on my bench?
Okay, give me the bench.
Okay. So I have Simon from Session 9.
Oh, no.
Because Simon from Session 9 just preys on the weak. So it would see who on your basketball team is weak, and it would just mess with all their heads. And Simon gets in all of their heads, actually, and messes with them in various ways. But it gets into – well, man, what's his name? We just did an episode about it, too. But he gets into the weakest guy's brain and has him commit murders. So
that's right.
I think people on the court, when they're dribbling up at Brightburn – Brightburn – like, he's a kid. He's not that strong yet. I think Simon could get in his head a little bit.
Well, mentally, Again, the problem with Brightburn is not that he's... It's not that he's a child. It's that he's an insane child, you know? Mm-hmm. He's that kid from the Twilight Zone episode where everybody, happy thoughts, don't think happy, don't think sad, don't be sad, happy. He is insane. This is where the problem is. But with the Session 9 dude, he's absolutely smart enough to twist him. Hey, yeah, I see you looking at our point guard. Yeah, she's kind of cute, right? You know what? She says she wants to talk to you. Really? Because, you know, Brightburn had a thing for a little girl.
Yeah.
And it didn't turn out well, you know, so I definitely think that you could play with Brightburn's emotions. But the problem is Brundlefly knows the evil that potentially comes out of being rejected by a woman. So I think Brundlefly, plus Brundlefly's a genius, would be able to pull Brightburn's coat and listen, you shouldn't listen to what she says, because the vomit drop.
There's no way that Simon's getting into Marlowe's head, though. No way.
No.
Marlowe's
Marlowe doesn't respect the human race. That's the problem. Right. Marlowe doesn't care. Oh, and you want to talk about Goon, the dog soldier. The dog soldier is the Goon. Oh, Marlowe's just going to be like, oh, doch, leash.
Head's being lopped off.
I'm getting into this too much.
I love it, man. I love it. All right, so I got Simon, then I have Azazel from Fallen.
Oh, another one who doesn't respect the human race.
No.
He's not gonna care about this game at all.
None.
He's against God.
And you know what I love, too, is Azazel goes after Denzel in that movie because how strong Denzel is. He's not. Mm-hmm. He's the opposite of Simon. He doesn't want to go after weak people. He wants to go after strong people. So Azazel is going to enter the Xenomorph or Marlowe. Azazel could enter Marlowe, maybe, potentially. Yeah. And just Azazel would just follow Marlowe around and just make him a shell of his former self.
Probably. But now there is a thing where a vampire is technically dead. So the only ones who are alive, everybody else on my team is technically alive except for the vampire.
Mm-hmm.
So Azazel, being the smart guy that he is, the most powerful on the team is Brightburn, because there was a comic book, Superman versus Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And when Superman was at full power, he just shredded the aliens. So if Azazel is going to take anybody over, he takes over Brightburn and he just starts... He's on my side. And the coach is like, Brightburn, get your head in the game. He's like, yes, it is. You know, and now suddenly Brightburn's shaving points. And we're like, what the hell's going on?
And also Brightburn can fly, so no one's going to bump into him and shift Azazel.
Exactly. You don't have to dribble the ball if you're in the air.
And what's amazing is Azazel can still be on the bench because no one would see him. And in Brightburn. So I have six players, technically.
That's right. There you go. Very good. Very good. And anybody else on your bench?
I have the Blob as a backup center. Just blocking the lane.
Again, you and intangible things. You are a bad guy.
And then I had Syl from Species. And then I had, because she's driven, right? She wants something, she does it. So you want that basket, you're going to do it. And then I have Jennifer from Jennifer's Body, because she can float and she's immortal. And this seems super powerful. So I think having those players on just kind of mix it up a little bit. But I'm happy with my starting five. Who's on your bench?
Okay. I have only one person on my bench, because my one person on the bench takes care of everything. Ladies and gentlemen, number 69, the naked chick from Life Force.
The vampire?
Yeah. Now, here it is. She is the vampire from which all vampires began, quote unquote. She's from outer space. She's completely naked. She can handle the ball. Did I mention she's completely naked all the time? She walked around London. Plenty of times she had a chance to put on clothes. She refused to. So this is going to be a distraction to at least some people on your team. Definitely the creepy murder ghost, because even though he's intangible, he's still a manly man.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's no way he's going to focus on the team. Also, number two, oh, by the way, she turns people into vampires. So anyone who is human on your team, unfortunately, your point guard and your shooting guard, she does the life suck from them. Boom. Now they're on our team. Your team is done. Your point guard is gone. Your shooting guard is gone.
So now you have a werewolf vampire.
That's right. She sucks the life out of anything that is not a part of the unexpected assault because we come out of nowhere, baby. That's what we do.
Man, space girl.
So, that's right. So once your sixth man is a vampire who is intelligent enough to control the stupid vampires that she creates, that's good to go. Which is why we couldn't have, we both reasoned, we couldn't have the zombies.
Mm-hmm.
Because the zombies are berserk. Unless they were the Return of the Living Dead zombies. Because they were still smart. They were just driven insane by brains because of the pain of being dead.
Could Azazel take over her?
I want to say that Azazel could take over her body because she is alive, but she's not human. And what, then again, you know, Azazel was created by God, so God created the universe. So in theory, Azazel could take over anything that is alive.
But the problem with that is that means nothing's in Brightburn now.
Mm.
So Simon would have to be... Well, I could shift Simon over to Brightburn.
You could. You could, potentially.
I have seven but players.
Azazel is... That's the thing, you see? Azazel is one at a time.
Yeah. Okay?
This chick, the naked chick from Life Force, a.k.a. Be With Me, Carlson, and just makes out with everybody. You know? She's very distracting. Did I mention she's naked all the time?
Good old space girl. Toby Hooper.
That movie was insane, and that girl was naked all the time, even on TV, and I was like 10, like, what is happening in this movie? It's awesome.
Like, I can't believe that this made the theaters, and 85 too. Like, the 80s weren't the most, like, you can think about it in the 70s, right, with all the Grindhouse and late 60s, and, you know, you have the Crazies, and you have Death Race 2000 and Corman, but in 85, this was a very non-85 movie.
People in the 70s were trying to make shocking movies, kind of gore, and there would be some nudity. This girl was just naked all the time, and I don't know why. It was uncalled for. And her name was just Space Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She didn't even bother, let alone clothes. She didn't even bother to have a name. She was just like, whatever, I'm naked. Oh, by the way, I've turned London into zombies, all of them. And that's what she's going to do to your team.
That's one of those movies you can never recommend. Hey, you should watch Space Life Force.
It's a guilty pleasure, 100%.
You get everyone together. Hey, guys, let's watch Life Force.
No, no. Because you're going to be uncomfortable because this girl's just naked all the time. So it's a movie that you either like, you watch it alone, or you watch it with that special someone so you can be like, okay, you want to know why I'm weird? Because this is my favorite movie. And then you just press play and just watch her slowly move out of the house and never talk to you again.
Someone calls it one of the most messily dazzling science fiction epics.
I love this movie, and I don't know why. Sir Patrick Stewart is in this movie.
Yeah, I love it. So,
why?
Man, do I focus Azazel on? This is tough.
Yeah, what's your defensive move against someone who is not only always naked, but as soon as she touches your other player, she just drains their life and turns them into a vampire?
Well, I don't think the Jotun's too worried about it, and Johnny Bartlett's already dead.
He's already dead, yeah.
So Candyman is too. Oh, mm-hmm. Candyman would be bad with this. You're mine.
And she would be like, be with me, Candyman, and just make out. Oh, hey. And now, the game's just stopped because now things are happening.
This is... I'd have to get the Jotun and Bartlett. I'd have to switch Bartlett to defending her.
It would get weird.
Man, that's tough. Or the Blob.
Well, yeah, the Blob has no feelings.
So
the Blob is a massive space bacteria.
I would... Okay, on my bench is the Blob, right? And then on your bench is is Space Girl. So I would have the Blob just spread out around my team to prevent it. Does that make sense? Mm.
It does make sense, because the Blob, while the alien queen has acid for blood, the Blob just dissolves everything.
Mm-hmm.
The Blob dissolves flesh of all kinds.
And if Space Girl tried to drain the Blob, she would melt.
Yeah, it's not possible. Space Girl can't drain the Blob.
And the Blob's like, I don't care about your lack of clothes. I'm the Blob.
The Blob doesn't think. Yeah, exactly. The Blob has no thought other than devour and grow large.
So we'll teach it a few rudimentary tricks, and then the Blob's just got to watch out. So whenever Life Force is on, the Blob is on, just blocking.
But this is where you backfire, okay? Because your coach, who's your coach again?
Oh, the shark from Deep Blue Sea. The main shark.
So the shark from Deep Blue Sea is in the tank, you know, doing semaphore and drawing on the waterboard. The Blob has not only no eyes, but no brain, no central nervous system. You think the Blob's paying attention? No. The Blob has devoured your 200-foot center, bro, and used it to create its mass. At the end of your practice, the only thing left is the blob, because all of your players have been absorbed by the blob, because the blob has no feeling.
I guess in my brain, I'm thinking the blob has a root of, like, the blob gets it. Not a lot, but it has a giant headband, and it just knows the blob just knows enough. Okay, I'm on this team, I'm not going to kill them. When I'm on the court, I just got to defend this person.
Okay, then my suggestion is that your blob is the Futurama blob.
There
who has, like, the bully son. I think that's what you're thinking.
Yeah, because not the brainless moving thing that just devours.
Yeah, because if you go with Steve McQueen blob, that's bad. If you go with the 80s remake, which quite frankly I think is a great movie.
Oh, yeah.
Great if you remake. Go with that blob. If you go with that blob, it's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
Because that one was brutal. That one ate people in love, small children, dogs, the homeless. That one didn't care about anything.
So, yeah, I like it. I think that's good. What do you think? It's the Futurama blob that can at least pull some thoughts together.
I'll allow it. That's not horror, but it's obviously an homage to the blob. Sure, I'll allow it. Because the blob as you define it, has no intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
Now granted, this is a ridiculous exercise as it is, and there's no way that the alien queen is going to do a crossover into a Step Back 3.
But in this world, it does, right? In this world,
in this world, it does, because my six players have some form of rudimentary intelligence. The blob is a large bacteria. I mean, the blob DGAF, my friend, about the basketball.
Maybe I could get Syl from Species to guard the thing, the alien coming down.
Well, now we're in a dark place, because, you know, Syl from Species is definitely going to recognize some things in the queen.
Yeah. I mean, Syl, you know, Species is basically the 90s life force of the age.
That's the next thing I was going to say. Like, Syl from Species is going to run into the Space Girl. Space Girl is going to be like, be with me, Syl from Species. And Syl's going to be like, okay. And now, again, the game has been interrupted because of, you know, the beast with two backs, shall we say.
This is going to be a game.
I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining me on this one, man.
On that note,
yeah. All right. If my team loses, I'm fine with it. Final score, Norbert. You get to pick the final score of this game. Played like a real game. All four quarters, real game.
Okay. Your intangible ghost monster has a very good chance of being the leading scorer because no one can stop him. No one can stop him. On the other hand, your team probably scores not a lot of points because every time the center gets involved, he's either out of bounds or half court because he's 200 feet tall. He can't stand on one side of the court because the court is 94 by 50. And he's 200 feet tall. That means that he is too big for the court. So you guys keep turning the ball over and my team wins.
Nice. I think the lead, Brightburn's pulling in 45 points a game. Easy.
Off of sheer violence and teen angst, I'm sure, yeah.
And it would get more, but Brightburn gets, he's a kid, so he starts doodling. It would have more.
Yeah, he keeps drawing that weird S from the 80s. He destroys the ball. He's distracted by the naked chick from Life Force sitting on a bench because he's got, you know, toxic masculinity issues. Yeah. And the vampire from 30 Days of Night suffers no fools. So anytime Brundlefly does acid drop too many times on the ball, Marlowe just backhands him into the stands. You know, technical fouls all over the place. The alien queen, you know, she's trying to impregnate everyone. But she gets an easy 30 and 20 with six blocks.
Candyman's just monologuing to people.
Oh my God, this is insane.
Well, thank you for joining me, Norbert.
No problem, brother. This exercise in madness, we can do it anytime you want.
Yeah, I thought this episode was going to be like an hour long, but it's about an hour 40. But we did it, man. We stretched this thing out. It's perfect.
Good times, baby. I love you.
All right, so for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, and for Norbert Morvan, this is Movies, Films, and Flicks. We'll see you next week.
Boom shakalaka.
The Crystal Lake monsters for the... Wait, nah, yeah, they'd lose. See y'all later. Bye.